How about those gas prices? Nationally, climbing 36 cents or 9% in the past month. Republican lawmakers say it's because of high demand and low supply of oil. They plan to introduce bills this month to allow for new offshore exploration in the Gulf off Mexico and off the coast of Virginia. Democrats say oil companies are raking in too much money. They want to pass a bill repealing some oil company subsidies. And President Obama is calling for an investigation into charges of fraud in oil markets. Ed Wallace, a contributor for Bloomberg Businessweek and host of the weekly radio talk show Wheels, says that last thing might be closer to the mark and questions, though, if the government really will do anything. We want to spend a few minutes with Ed today. He has some provocative thoughts. His article is entitled Blame High Oil Prices on Speculators and Fed Chair Ben Bernanke. He joins us from his home in Fort Worth, Texas, to explain. Welcome.
Well, hi, Robin. How are you today?
Good. So let's start with speculators. Remind us who they are and why you think blame lies there.
Well, you have to understand how the futures market works. There are the sellers of the product, in this case, the people that actually produce the oil. You have what's called a hedger, the person who's trying to buy the oil, who is legitimately going to take delivery of it. And then you have the speculator. And in a perfect world, the speculator is the arbitrator of what the fair price is. What we've seen, particularly over the past six-year period, is that speculators have come to dominate the market. When they throw all this money into it, they're the ones raising the price beyond its discovery platform.
So let me see if I've got you, because we have talked about this before. Speculators turn from, the housing market after the bubble burst, to investing in commodities. As you said, traditionally, there have been outside investors who've come into these commodities market, and it's thought that they make legitimate bids on what they think oil is worth. And that helps, as you say, set the price for companies and businesses. They, as you say, hedge their bets. They buy it and then use it later. But what's happened is that the seesaw, if you will, has sort of gone out of whack, and there's far more people coming into the market who don't plan on using that oil down the road.
Well, if I could take us back just 3 years, if you recall, starting in the mid part of the last decade, everybody was talking about how we were coming up on peak oil and that it was going to get very expensive. Well, in August of 2007, I noticed that oil demand and fuel demand worldwide was starting to tank. And you could see gasoline use in America dropping also. But the speculators were still out there saying, oh my gosh, there is no excess supply of oil and the demand is going through the roof. Well, during that period, oil went from $69.27 to $147. And that's how you knew there were far too many speculators in the market.
Because they drove the price up?
Exactly.
You're saying that these speculators were trying to gin up this idea that their oil was worth so much more because there was going to be a shortage?
Well, think of it this way. They're like carnival barkers. They've got oil contracts that they bought, and in order for them to get a return on an oil contract where they're never going to take delivery of the product, they've got to convince others to come into the market and drive the price higher.
Well, but is this fraud?
In some ways, it became fraud when it became an unregulated market. If you and I go out and buy oil futures on the New York Mercantile Exchange, we have to declare who we are, how much we're buying, and why we're paying the price we're paying. But when we passed the Commodities Futures Modernization Act of 2000, it contained what's called the Enron loophole. Now you and I can go buy all the oil we want at any price we want to pay at a unregulated, non-transparent exchange, and we don't have to tell anybody we did it. Just a year ago, we had an oil trader working for a firm over in London who went out and had a night on the town. In fact, he apparently got himself pretty well drunk. And when he got home at 2 o'clock in the morning, he opened up his laptop and he started buying oil contracts. Single-handedly, this gentleman moved the price of oil worldwide $1.83 a barrel by himself in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the next day his firm found out what he did. Well, he never could have done that if he went through a regulated exchange.
Well, and I guess you're saying that now true investors have no way of knowing when they see this price of oil shoot up. They don't know if it's somebody hoarding it just in speculation, if I got that right?
It is what Wall Street is, Robin. You know, right up until the day everything collapsed in October 2008, everyone on Wall Street told us everything was fine. Legally, there is a requirement that they follow their fiduciary duties to their clients. And that seems to have disappeared. Though the public is led to believe that there's no oil in the world and that's why everybody's going to pay $4, $5, or $6 a gallon for oil this year. In fact, that's just not true. Here in America, we have picked up from the first of the year, we have 30 million barrels more oil in inventory today than we started out. In Texas, the oil boys are calling me and saying that they've got oil pumped out of the ground in their stripper wells, and the oil marketeers won't pick it up because they don't want it. In Japan, in March, when they had their earthquake, they lost 29% of their refining capacity, so their demand for oil fell. That same month, the Saudis called all the oil buyers in the world and asked, how much oil do you need? Remember, they said they were going to pick up for the Libyan problem. And everybody said, no, we're good right where we are. And so the Saudis pumped 800,000 fewer barrels every day in March because nobody wanted it. And yet the price of oil climbed. So we have oil men in Texas who have pumped oil. The marketeers won't pick it up. The Saudis made the offer and cut back production because nobody wanted it. Japan lost 29% of their refineries in March, but the price of oil climbed. If it were based on supply and demand, that could not have happened.
And again, you're saying it's because of all these speculators who have jumped into the commodities market and driven the price up. But OPEC says that they think the demand for oil is going to go up 3% this year in the U.S.
Yes, and if you read the International Energy Agency, you'll find the executive director said last week at Reuters that he sees demand destruction right now. Demand destruction is where the price gets so high that people can't buy or don't want to buy as much. He called demand destruction alarming. And yet his chief economist came out at the same agency and said, you know, we really need to get off oil because it's just too volatile for the world to deal with. So even within own groups, Robin, you'll find that there's two divergent opinions. All I know is this. If you throw enough money at anything, the price is going to go up, even if it's far beyond what it's really worth in value. If you doubt that, just look at California real estate from 2001 to 2006. You had $400,000 homes that were selling for $1 million.
Well, and you could add, we think, Beanie Babies to the list as well. I mean, remember the craze for Beanie Babies driving the price up? But you mentioned homes. We know how that housing bubble burst. What does that have to do with the rising price of gas? Ed says everything. He's just getting started, so stay with us. He will explain. Also later today, another name etched into the Vietnam War Memorial. We'll find out why. Back in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at mathworks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about high gas prices. Now we're talking with Ed Wallace, a contributor to Bloomberg Businessweek, who blames high gas prices, first of all, on speculators. As he just said, there are always people who buy things on the futures market like oil at a low price. They'll use it later, hoping the price goes up and they've made out like bandits. And he's not talking about them. He's talking about speculators who are just dumping money in the futures market to drive the price and their investment up. Then Ed says there's the Federal Reserve, which sets interest rates. Now, it's interesting. Representative Barney Frank is suggesting a bill that would change the way the Fed works, removing the regional Fed board members from a vote on interest rates because he says they're too cozy with banks. And Ed has questions of his own. So, Ed, what are you seeing?
What we have seen is the Federal Reserve has offered up as much money to the market as it wants, at virtually no interest, about a quarter of a point interest.
This brings us to the blame that you lay on Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke. You say he's partly responsible for this. And again, the Fed has just lowered the interest rate to practically nothing on the money it lends to banks. How has that driven up the price of oil?
Well, I'll tell you, Robin, since the collapse in 2008, and I don't know about you and your friends, but everybody I know, they have been very, very cautious with going into debt. Well, certainly we've seen it with car sales, the way it's fallen over the past few years. But we're not seeing necessarily in parts of the country a lot of homes being bought. We're not seeing people apply for new credit cards or asking to have their limits raised. People have been paying down debt. So if the Federal Reserve puts trillions of dollars into the system, virtually interest-free, saying, well, we're going to free up credit for everybody, who do you know that's out there begging for more credit right now?
Well, I know, in fact, a lot of small businesses that are, but they're not getting the money.
That's exactly right. So now you're an investment bank, and you have all this money you've taken from the Fed. Again, at virtually no interest. Now you need to go find a return on your money.
Well, and by the way, the idea was that the Fed would give this money to these banks so that they would lend it to small businesses and they would create jobs.
Yeah, that really hadn't happened. I know some people that are in the business of selling franchises and building them, and they'll tell you the SBA, while it's gotten slightly better, things really haven't improved for that type of loan.
Yeah, Small Business Administration, yep. So where's the money going?
Well, it goes into equities. It goes into the equity market to buy stock. It goes into commodity futures, things of this nature. And what have we seen since the Fed's released all this money? Put a lot of money into the system at virtually no interest, and it's going to go out there and distort the markets.
So you're saying that money that the Federal Reserve has loosened up and is given out to banks practically interest-free in the hopes that they will lend that money to small businesses and create jobs is actually being used by these investment houses to speculate on oil prices, thereby driving up the price of oil?
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, Ed Wallace, there are people who say that this thinking is a bunch of hooey. Andrew Moorfield, of the global head of oil and gas at Lloyd's Banking Group, told The Telegraph, speculation only makes up a small portion of the market. But is there a way to find out definitively? I mean, do you think that President Obama's suggestion of an investigation will reveal that there are speculators behind this rising cost of oil?
No, I don't.
Why?
I think it was done for public consumption. Because, and again, I'm fortunate enough that I'm an investor. And anyone out there who has money in stocks or money in commodities, things of this nature, you can talk about all these people that come out and say, no, it's not speculation, it's not this, it's not that. But anybody who's an investor knows that's exactly how the market works.
Well, but why can't it be exposed?
Because I think they have to keep it this way. And this, now let me speculate on my own story. The housing crisis is not over yet. They say that somewhere between 13 and 15% of all homes in America are now sitting vacant. Not all of them have been sold. The Wall Street Journal, what was it, last September, did a story said that at our current sales rate for used homes in America, it's going to take 9 years to clear off the backlog of these homes off the bank's books and actually get them sold. That means they haven't taken the losses, Robin. So how do you get the banks into a position where they make so much money they can slowly work out of this mess?
You give them oil.
You give them so much money at virtually no interest they can make money in commodities, food, oil, whatever. And these huge profits you're piling up are actually going to go to probably handle the losses that are still coming our way and will come our way for years to come.
So it sounds like you're saying that the government needs to keep this inflated oil market there because that's how banks, investment houses, whoever these speculators are, can sort of offset their loss in homes.
I think that's as logical a theory, and I'm not saying that's absolute. But why else would the government let it happen when the government's the one that knows exactly what's happening? They've studied it, and yet they do nothing.
Well, we are going to leave it on that provocative note. That's Ed Wallace from Fort Worth, Texas. He contributes to Bloomberg Business Week, also hosts the weekly radio show Wheels, saying that he thinks that speculators are behind the rise in the price of oil and gas, but that, in fact, it might be the one thing propping up banks as they still haven't gotten out of the housing crisis. Ed, as I said, provocative. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Robin.
And as this debate picks up again in Congress, we'll air other analysts' opinions on the high price of gas, but we'll air yours as well. Shirley Sanders of Oklahoma City wrote us she's using less air conditioning to conserve gas. John Asbury owns an auto repair shop in Sweet Home, Oregon. He says high gas prices are hurting small businesses, but also his favorite hobby.
Also own an airplane. I have not insured it or flown it for 3 years due to the dipping economy, higher fuel costs, higher insurance costs. I just refuse to pay it.
My name is Bruce Alvarez, and I live in South Burlington, Vermont. People are complaining, oh, the price of gas is up, the price of gas is up. when they go buy something new, what do they buy? They buy another pickup truck. And then when the price of gas goes up, they complain, oh, look how much it costs me to drive my car around.
So, want to weigh in? Go to hereandnow.org, leave a comment, or click through to Facebook. We did a survey there. The majority of you said $4 gallon gas is forcing you to change habits. Go to facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Leave your thoughts there as well. Okay, quick look ahead. Tomorrow on Here and Now, Thomas Ricks on the future of the U.S. military, especially in light of the bin Laden raid. That will be interesting, we promise. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England, and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.